The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/kccurrent.
He did something no quarterback will ever do again. Get drafted in the eighth round. He's a two-time Pro Bowler and has as many rushing touchdowns as Joe Delaney. Look it up. It's true. It's time to go from the gun with Trent Green.
The most talented man I've ever met.
On the program.
Presented by Ascendist Hair Restoration. Get your hair back using state-of-the-art robotic hair transplant technology from Ascendist. Book your free consultation at Kansas City Hair Transplant.
Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. You heard it. Let's talk some football with Trent Green, former Pro Bowl quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, turned CBS color analyst. First, let's get to our Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour question. Curtis, the answer.
Well, Patrick Mahomes, the second quarterback to win 15 straight interconference games. Who's the other? How about Bobby Hebert of the Saints?
Wow, how about that? Bobby Hebert. I don't know what that means. Let's ask Trent Green. Trent Green is with us here in the program. Bobby, I like Curtis and I talked about this one. It seems like it's almost more coincidence than it is accomplishment. Not that Bobby Hebert didn't have a fine career. Huge fan of his with the Michigan Panthers because I was a USFL nerd. But, you know, I don't know what to make of that, but it is pretty impressive.
Yeah,
15 straight.
I don't know either. Yeah, I mean that's an impressive stat for Patrick. And you could have probably given me 20 guesses, and I wouldn't have said Bobby Hebert. I don't know if I would have said Bobby Hebert in the first 50 guesses, but not that Bobby didn't have a great career and everything. But it's just when you're thinking NFL records, I generally don't put Bobby Hebert right near the top.
Yeah, that's like that, you know, those Jim Morris Saints teams where he quarterbacked, they were very good.
They were very good.
Yeah, great defense and everything, and he was the guy captaining the ship. So, just kind of impressive that was what it was. Trent, first of all, what do you make of the Chiefs getting the win against the Rams? This was a game that had no juice from the fan base. Really, the idea that there was any chance that the Chiefs could lose, I know you can always lose an NFL game, but was largely taken away when Matt Stafford wasn't going to play. What was your reaction to that, to what the Chiefs were able to do against the Rams?
Well, I think it's kind of what a lot of people expected. I know many fans were disappointed that it wasn't a bigger blowout or more lopsided. But I think, you know, it's just kind of what it was, right? You knew with Perkins as the quarterback that they weren't going to be able to generate a lot of offense. It was just going to be a matter of our offense not turning the ball over, or special teams not turning the ball over and making this into something it didn't need to be. Really, from a Chiefs standpoint, the fact that we're able to control the clock and not give up any, you know, really the one drive that the Rams put together, Perkins looked pretty good on, but for the most part, there was no real threat. And I think this kind of the energy of the game indicated that. So they got the win when they needed to get the win. That was, that was the most important thing when you start talking about playoffs and seedings and those kinds of things, and especially with a big game against Cincinnati coming up. So they got done what they needed to, but it wasn't anything that overwhelmed anyone.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, they've had a number of them. They seem to have like big game, not big game, where they're in these quote unquote classic trap game situations, coming off one big game, a look ahead to another one with the Bengals. They didn't let that get them. For the betting public, they even got to the number when it was all said and done, which actually is harder than people might realize. Curtis did the numbers on this, and it's like three games under 500 for spreads of 15.5 or higher that the favored team is just covering outright. It's like 62-3, I think, overall out of the 65 games. But, it's like 29, 32, and 3 or something along those lines as to how it comes down. And so it's to get there, to win, and to cover is an accomplishment. And you never apologize for a win in the NFL. I firmly believe that. I've heard enough coaches say it and seen enough weird things happen to understand it. And I think the game could have gotten out of hand. It could have been the offensive show. I think a lot of people are like, oh, let's light up the Rams. You know, let's have some fun. Let's see Pat break some records. Let's see Kelsey blow up some numbers. And it almost felt like they wanted to do that too. Can you find yourself in a game that you know you're the better team and you're trying to get to 30 before you get to 10, and you just kind of end up having this day where you go 1-for-5 or 1-for-6 in the red zone like they did?
Well, I think the thing is when it starts the way it does, and Travis, the moves that he put on Jalen Ramsey to get open on that on his touchdown, and then what he's kind of known for is his yards after catch and what he's able to do once he gets the ball in his hand. So I think once that happened, it was like, oh, Travis just beat Jalen Ramsey and Mahomes led him right down the field. Like, oh, this is on. And I think that's kind of what, you start thinking, okay, we are going to have a 40 or 50 point day, and Travis is going to have, 100 plus yards and multiple touchdowns. And, it's easy to get that mindset, but ultimately, you still got Aaron Donald over there. You still got, Jalen Ramsey who isn't having quite the season that, that a lot of people expected, and the Rams for that matter are having the season everybody expected. So, after that touchdown drive and that pass to Kelce, I think that kind of reinforced the mindset anyway. And then the Rams just kind of, didn't allow it to happen. Especially from a red zone standpoint.
Yeah. And I think that you make a great point. Throw in Bobby Wagner too, who they added this year, who's one of, if not the best middle linebackers. Ask Isaiah Pacheco if he knows who Bobby Wagner is. He does this morning, after some of the pops he took. And that Rams defense is still pretty salty. So to get to where the Chiefs were, having had one touchdown callback, having Mahomes throw a pick in the end zone, missing Travis Kelce on the throwback play. Kelce was really wide open for quite a while, and Mahomes hesitated or didn't find him. Maybe he wasn't the first option, but by the time he got to him, Ramsey was able to close on the ball and knock it away. I mean, that's 15 points that if this is 41-10, that's the game everybody thought it should be. Either way, they get the win, and they don't get banged up, right? That's probably the most important thing here as they get ready to take on the Bengals, because the Bengals game is a giant one. They get out of this, and it was clear Andy Reid put the bulk of the play sheet back on the shelf in the fourth quarter and just said, we're going to pound the rock. I mean, there are only so many great plays, right?
Yeah, no, there definitely is. And when things are under control, like they were for most of that game, if it wasn't like, I don't know, even when the game was within 10, it wasn't like there was a fear of the Rams coming back, unless something crazy happened. Obviously the interception, all of a sudden created, but then Snead got the interception and got it right back. So there's no real fear there. So don't use up those plays. You gotta remember, you got three games on the road now, Cincinnati being the most important one. And then at Denver, which they've owned Denver, but still it's at Denver, which is always a tough place to play in the division. And who knows where their mindset's going to be, after the struggles they've had this season. So, the Dolphins winning, the Bills winning, the Bengals win. I mean, the AFC is definitely tightening up as things get closer to the playoffs.
You fought for that number one seed. We're talking to Trent Green here on a Monday. You fought for that number one seed. The Bills getting the win on Thursday, that was an extra carrot out there as well. I mean, the Chiefs knew, trip up on this one and you no longer have the one seed. The Bills should make them their best, right? Because they have no margin for error now.
I would think so. It's because it's different now, with the only team getting a bye with the expansion of the playoffs, the only team getting a bye is that one seed. And you want the one seed for home field advantage, but you want the one seed just to try and get healthy and have the week off and watch the other teams play and let them beat each other up for a week as you're just resting and preparing. So yeah, getting that one seed, maintaining the one seed is very important. And it carries a lot more weight when you have a game like Cincinnati this week, who is going to be right in the mix. Now they've kind of clawed their way back into the mix, and with Baltimore stumbling at the end again against Jacksonville yesterday, it just kind of tightens up that division as well.
And what do you make of it? Because I mean, like I said, the Chiefs know what they've got to do with the Bills chasing them. Coming in this game, they have the Bills, Dolphins, Ravens, and Titans all just right behind them, nipping at their heels. Ravens are in that mix as well. And, I guess spent the whole week listening to people like me talk about how they had the easiest schedule amongst all the contenders. Did they just have a letdown, or are they at flawed team that this is what they are. They're kind of that 11-6 team, 12-5. If it breaks right for them, yeah, they can get to the number one seed. But they're more like a Marty Schottenheimer number one seed. They're limited in what they can do offensively. And so they're always susceptible to losses like this. And, you know, whether they avoid them in the regular season, this just isn't a team that can beat three or more likely, like you just said, four of them, most beat everybody, four playoff teams and win a championship.
Well, I'm looking forward. I've got the Ravens this week against the Broncos. So I'm looking forward to breaking down that tape and really kind of seeing what's happened since we last had them. We had them a few weeks ago, probably about a month ago now, but it's, you know, they had a problem early in the season of losing double digit leads. And that's what happened in this Jacksonville game. They lost the double digit lead in the fourth quarter and lost the game. And, you know, sometimes that's more than anything. It's just a mindset, right? You get to the fourth quarter, and you kind of get that, oh no, here we go again kind of mentality. Not that you want it, not that you wish it wasn't there. But right now, it just looks like the way this season's unfolded for Baltimore. I mean, they've got all the talent, right? You know, they've got the talent there, to get hot at the right time or to make that, what is it, 3 or 4 game playoff run, depending if you get in the bye game or bye week or not. But it's a scary team, but they found some ways to lose games this season to where we're really, they could be sitting there at 10-1 or 9-2, but they haven't been able to finish games.
Yeah. And that's, you know, is that just the limitations of Lamar Jackson? I mean, I hate to put it all on his shoulders, but you know, he's gotten better and came out of the gates red hot. I think it was like 11 touchdowns, one interception. And there was kind of like an in your face rest of the NFL, but it is part of that he still needs to grow more as a passer.
Well, I think that's the thing, you know, when you have double digit leads, right, your play calling changes a little bit and you're really, you know, not that you're playing to not lose, but you're playing to really run the clock out. That's what it's supposed to be. You're supposed to, you know, hey, the defense is going to hold on, you know, offensively, we need to use the clock up. We need to make the other team burn their timeouts, you know, all those kinds of things. And, you know, you have to remember, you know, Lamar came into this season where they offered him record-setting type numbers. I mean, they offered him a $250 million contract for 5 years, and you know, he wanted the guaranteed money. He wanted the Deshaun Watson guaranteed money, and the Ravens just at that point in time weren't going to do it. So they, you know, I want to say the numbers that are circulating out there, it was a 5-year 25 with about 180, 190 guaranteed, which, you know, would have been the second most guaranteed money of any quarterback. And so there was a lot of people wondering if that was going to have a distraction. Then Lamar started off the season as strong as he did. And then it was like, oh, now they're going to have to pay him even more. And then now there've been some games where they haven't been able to finish and some comments by Lamar through social media. And it's like, okay, the frustration is weighing up because he doesn't have an agent. It's he and his mom, basically. His mom's his advisor and Lamar's his own agent. So there's a lot of stuff going on there. So how much of that is weighing on him as well? And you know, is it going to be worth it to go all the way to the end of the season? He basically bet on himself. And you know, Joe Flacco did that with the Ravens when they ended up winning the Super Bowl and it paid off for him. But it's a big risk. And you wonder how much of that is weighing on Lamar Jackson right now.
You had the Chargers win over the Cardinals. Justin Herbert gets it done late. That's something that I'm not going to say he hadn't been able to do against the Chiefs. He hadn't been able to do it late and leave nothing on the clock for Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he took the Chargers down the field and got the touchdown late, but left too much time, which I think is unfair to put on the quarterback's shoulders, but it's what society likes to do. And this one, he got it done with 15 seconds. I mean, does that finally, because we've seen the numbers and, you know, Patrick has all these things and in this many games and this many, and he, because he started as a rookie, you know, is in the years, in the first 3 years and 4 years, he's still ahead of Patrick Mahomes and some of those, because Mahomes didn't play that first year. So there's all these wonderful stats and records that the NFL puts out about Justin Herbert every year, but he's been kind of a 500-ish quarterback. Is this the kind of game, getting that kind of win against the Cardinals, that unleashes him and maybe gets him going to where he's not just putting up stats, but he's winning games?
Well, I think that's an important thing for him. You know, there's been high expectations for this team for a couple of seasons now. And especially a year ago when they got to that final game, and actually the final stretch of games and not able to make it into the playoffs. And then, you know, the expectations coming into this season and really what was going on around this entire division. but more specifically for Justin Herbert being in his third year. And you're right. We were guilty of it, you know, yesterday. He's now the second most passing yards in their first three seasons, the second most touchdown passes in your first three seasons. You know, he'll end up being number one because there's too many games left, or I would think he's going to be if he stays healthy and they continue the production that they have. So all those numbers are going to be there. But as we know, it's about getting the wins and getting into the playoffs. And I think that's, you know, kind of the expectation and the mindset that the Chargers have had all season. They haven't, they've been without Rashawn Slater, who was all pro as a rookie left tackle last year. It looks like he may come back. He had a biceps injury, so they think he may get back by the end of the season. Joey Bosa, they think is going to get back by the end of the season. So they're just trying to hang around and get hot at the right time. And then if they get their bodies back, they feel like they may be able to make a push to the playoffs. And certainly this was an important win. They've had multiple games that were close, as the Chiefs know, beating the Chargers twice by 3 points. They've had multiple games that were one score games. And I want to say they're about 500 in those one score games, just off the top of my head. I think they're either 4-2 or 3-3 in those close games. So they've had a bunch of them. And I do think this is a big step for the Chargers to get to that point, to get over 500, get to 6-5. Now all of a sudden you're in the conversation with, you know, Baltimore, Cincinnati, you know, Buffalo, Miami, the Jets. I mean, you got all these teams that are kind of right behind the Chiefs, and at 6-5, they've kind of crept into that conversation now.
I want to a couple more on the Chiefs. That kind of sidetracked us a little bit, but I did want to talk about Lamar and Justin Herbert. But let's go back to the Chiefs and go back to Patrick Mahomes. And we just got a few more minutes here with Trent Green because we got to get to Kansas basketball. But the no-look pass from Patrick Mahomes. Does he need to put that away? I mean, do you think, first of all, that's what I think he was doing on the interception.
Put it away inside the 10-yard line, yeah. It's like, I agree with you. Listen, we all love it. It's fun. It's something I didn't do, and there's a lot of guys that wouldn't do it, but Patrick did show that he can do it. But I think when they showed the replay from a different camera angle, and you could see him clearly looking one way and trying to throw the other. I mean, it was, yeah. You have to be selective at what areas of the field you decide to do it. But you know what? He's such a dynamic player, and people enjoy all those different little tricks that he can do with the football and with his eyes. I don't want to take that away from him, but going into the end zone, maybe one of the times you maybe don't do it.
All right, I've saved this one for our last subject. We talked a lot about it early in the program. Everybody talked about it certainly early in the game. Sky Moore muffs another punt. This is the third one of the year. They didn't put him back in. I don't think they're going to put him back out there. But this is one to me that should have been avoided. I'm a believer. Listen, you know, you play any baseball, hell, you play beer league softball. Some guys can judge a fly ball. Some guys can't. And then I would think, never having returned kicks, stunning looking at me that you know, I never returned a kick or punt in my life, was sent back there. The lack of athleticism clearly showed through at an early age. But I would think you either can or can't keep your eyes on the ball when people are running at you. Like, if you're wanting to get your eyes down, you're going to get your eyes down. I think the only people apparently in Arrowhead Stadium that thought Sky Moore should go back and return punts were Dave Tobe and Andy Reid. How do two guys as incredibly accomplished as those two guys have been seemingly make what has been such a titanic mistake?
Well, it's more mental right now for Sky Moore. And I think that's pretty obvious when you see some of the catches he made in the game on Sunday. I mean, were impressive. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just, okay, the guy has the ability and has the hands, right? So it's, you know that it's there. And I think really what they're trying to do is, it's no different than a quarterback when he throws the ball to a receiver and a receiver drops the ball. You immediately want to, if it's your guy or if it's one of the guys that you're counting on, you immediately want to get the ball in his hands again and throw one right back to him. Say, hey, I'm counting on you. I believe in you. I'm giving you the ball back. It's no different than Pacheco had that fumble a couple weeks ago, and they immediately gave him the ball. The next possession, he got the ball the very first play. It was, you know, that's a coach's belief. Listen, we got to get that mindset. We got to get that out of their mind right now. And I think that's what Tobe and Reid were attempting to do, is, hey, let's put him back out there. Let's get him some confidence. We feel really good about our game plan and what we have. The fact that Perkins is starting for the Rams, and this should be not that any game is easy, but you know, they felt very confident going into this game. So what a perfect opportunity to try and gain some confidence for Sky Moore. And it's a mental thing right now. And I think when you see that ball go right through the middle, right, hit him right in the numbers and go right through, to me, that's more of a mental thing. You know, he's doing such a good job, or I thought he did such a good job as a receiver. He obviously doesn't have any mental part there. And I love the energy. He jumped up and he's pointing, you know, first downs and got all that going. I'm excited about that because that tells you from a mental standpoint, it's not affecting the offensive side of it, but from a special teams standpoint, yeah, you may have to put that to rest at least until the offseason, or maybe it's something they can work on. But right now, it's definitely a mental block for him.
I'll just leave it alone. This is one where I agree with you. I agree with every single word you said about Sky Moore, and I love his confidence. And that's my fear, is like he's actually a really, really important player for this team. In 2023, in 2024. I mean, before they have Kadarius Toney now, who signed for next year. They have Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who signed. They have Justin Ross, the guy from Clemson, who's hurt, signed. And they have Sky Moore. And that is it for wide receivers. And I'm glad to see that confidence bounce back. I'm with you. And they clearly know that he's a tough kid and that he can handle it. And I'm assuming they thought, hey, this won't crush him if he does make another mistake. But they need him as a wide receiver. Like, stop messing around with this, because you're going to have to depend upon – you're having to depend on him right now because Mecole Hardman's out. But Hardman's not signed. Juju's not signed. Like, developing him as a wideout and is very important for the team. And I just don't know why they're messing around with the other stuff.
I think they just wanted to give it another shot. I would be shocked if they put him back there the rest of the year, unless something happened, unless injuries happen or he has to go back there. But I would think – you know, by giving him that opportunity and not coming through, it's like, okay, let's just focus on him as a receiver. At least that's, you know, unless there's another opportunity later in the year with maybe the game out of control, hey, let's get him in there and get him a couple reps. But I don't necessarily see him going back in there. But you don't want to mess with his confidence as a receiver. And as a receiver, he's not lacking confidence. That was very evident with the way, you know, he snatched the ball on Sunday and you know, what he showed after catching those passes.
Time now for our University of Kansas Health System Final Four with Trent Green. Of course, it's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. Don't forget the Sports Performance Holiday Sale going on now through the end of the year, now through December 31st. You can save 25%. New clients save 25% on sports performance classes, personal training packages, the Qualysys 3D running gait analysis. You want to improve your running? You can do that. Metabolic performance assessments, the Titleist Performance Institute golf evaluations. Got a golfer on your Christmas list, give them this gift right now. You can save 25%. Get more information at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsperformance. Four quickies. I'll move quick here. Let's just start with your confidence in the one seeds. Do the Eagles finish the deal and end up the one seed in the NFC?
I would think so. Yeah. With the way they're playing and anyone being close right now, you know, they've got a 2-game lead on Dallas. And even from that standpoint, Minnesota hasn't looked, you know, in some of their big games hasn't looked particularly well, whether it be against Philly or Dallas. So even though they're a game behind, it's really more than one game. So I would think Philly, yes, would stay the one.
All right. Do the Chiefs stay the one seed? Do they get the one seed when it's all said and done?
The fact that it's just one game, you know, I like the Chiefs' schedule. I think once they get through Cincinnati, if they're able to get away with a win in Cincinnati, I would feel more confident in saying yes. But right now, since Buffalo has the tiebreaker, I don't know if they're able to maintain it or not. I'm still gonna say Buffalo because of that tiebreaker will probably end up the one seed.
All right. Have you played Christmas music yet?
Have I played Christmas music? I have not. I did the other night, though, as I was doing notes, getting ready for my game. I did have Christmas Vacation on in the background. It was on whatever channel it was on, just kind of flipping through. And I was tired of doing the you know, football in the back, you know, cause football, if I have a college game, then I'll end up watching the game and I'm not kind of doing my notes. So I had Christmas Vacation on in the background as I was doing notes. So I will admit to that, but no Christmas music yet.
That's a strong play. I like that. All right. Finally, are you a fan of eggnog?
I'm not. Really? I'm not. No.
My brother-in-law brought it over for our Thanksgiving festivities, and I don't ever remember having it in the past. And a little kick down there at the bottom of it, mix it up. Pretty good.
Great. Is it served warm? Is that the way to do it?
No, we had it cold, and I thought it was great.
Okay.
I thought it was fantastic. Okay. I also think I had a small cup, and I think I probably had about 5,000 calories in it. It tasted so rich and sweet.
And tasty. I maybe just said people probably just threw up listening to that, asking if it was warm, because I have no idea. I don't like it, so I don't drink it. So. They're probably right now shaking their head going, what the hell is Trent Green talking about warm eggnog? I'm like, I have no idea. So it's, that's not my go-to, that's for sure.
Strong, strong. Trent, you're the man. We appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks. Have a good week.